We are recording all of the all of this so that you can have it. You can have it later. In our recording of it, it's a little better sounding. So we hope that when you go to the archives later on, at least during this, and then we want you to check out the ones that we've put up. Now, the Blog Talk ones do sound a little lower, and I don't like the sound quality, but that's what we have to work with right now. And of course, we got William Perry coming on in about an hour, and then we will get into some more and start working on the cases. If you have the workbook, we are on Volume 1, Week 9. Week number 9, page 95 in your workbook. Page 95. And we want to make sure that you have, let me see, I don't know why, everybody's hearing it a little bit low. That's pretty amazing to me. I don't know what else to do. We've got this turned up all the way when it comes down to the sound right here. So that's all we can do concerning it. We hope. All right, let's see if we can do this differently. We're going to take it down a little bit and see if that's a lot better. Good. Okay. We're going to try. We will try that down the road also. Thank you. We appreciate that. Great. Good. That sounds like it's better altogether across the board. Maybe the adjustments were just too much. Very good. Glad you're here. Put up the prayers tonight, please, as we ask God to give grace and mercy and to cover everyone involved in listening and those involved in wanting to help. May God bring extraordinary miracles and help to those who are victims and those who are going through, you know, all of the battle, SRA, MPD, DID. It's all about tragic and horrific abuse, satanic and mental and emotional and spiritual and ritual and all the rest. By the way, let me again throw out to you so that you'll research it. Some say maybe 10 million victims in the United States. They're in Canada, they're in Australia, they're in England, they're in Ireland, they're in all of Europe, they're in Italy, they're in Russia. This is a multi-continental, multinational issue. The victims began to show up later on. Later on in the, well, late 70s, early 80s, and then by the 90s, the millions. And so it's multinational. And it's pretty sequential because we have first generation throughout all those nations I mentioned. Now we have second generation, third generation we're dealing with, and fourth, which are anywhere from just now being born till about 12 years old. So that's part of the issue. It's the victimization is bad enough, but then we've got the entire issue of this. The collective goal behind all of this. The truth is, in our engagement in the underground, it's all about their connection to globalism, a new order, the belief in a super being to come. And I know if that's hard to believe or sounds like a conspiracy, well, so is human trafficking, and so is the drug lords and the billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar industry when it comes to the drug lords. And by the way, the drug lords are using priests and priestesses to summon powers to beat out the competition and to protect them from cops and to advance the drug trade. Biblical prophecy tells us in the future that the drug trade and demon worship will be inseparable, and it's the thing on a global scale that many millions will not repent of, will not turn away from. Book of Revelation, maybe you need to read that again. Tonight, keeping records, audio, filming, notebook files, surveillance, tracking down victims, perpetrators, and our special guest at about 8:35 tonight, William Ramsey. So glad you're here. May God's grace and his empowerment and God's fierce boldness against radical evil and deep compassion for the victims be in and with you tonight. If you're on page 95, we want to go through this. We have 1 hour, or less than an hour, actually, to really nail this down tonight. And we want you to put some questions up, too. Keeping records. Now, again, I'm telling you that the first 9 weeks, these are absolutely essential. And I want you to know, if I was your trainer, instructor in a local class, I mean, we really want you to know that we want to hold you accountable I know some listen because they just want to hear about the stub, but some, I want you to understand that all that we've talked about so far are foundational issues. They will help you, prepare you, make you think through what you need down the road in helping victims and investigating. If it involves you finding children, if it involves you finding victims, if you've begun to work with MPD, SRA, and all of a sudden they disappear, or all of a sudden they get triggered out, or all of a sudden you get phone calls, or all of a sudden you're going to need things, well, please understand that's exactly the foundational things that you're going to need. And it all begins spiritually. And I will say this, with every ounce of my being, I do not believe you can crack into the underground without the hand of God. You can get to some of the stuff that happened later, the crime issues, but to crack in further and to even help get and retrieve victims out, you're going to need the hand of God and the grace of Christ. You're going to need the grace of God if you're going to look at crime scene photos. And by the way, in Volume 2 workbook, we are putting actual crime scene photos in that book. Okay? We're going to put a lot more in the second volume because you're going to get into the depths of things. You're going to get assignments for where you live. We want to have interaction with everyone that's working on, beginning to work on cases in your area. And we're going to have, again, down the road, more down the road when we have other law enforcement individuals that will be here too that I know that have that are believers and others that are those who have worked cases and have dealt with all of this. Volume 2 is going to be about 2 weeks. Now, please understand, this is week 9. This is the last week. We are coming back next week. We will be here next week dealing with cold cases, and we're going to have, I think, William Ramsey come back one more week to deal with the West Memphis 3 and that case. Then we're going to have a week break, if not two, and during that time, I will finish writing and put up for sale. I'll give you a week or 10 days prior to where you can order it, maybe more, and then we can go into the second half. And that will be good. We're going to probably do a local train and see slides and see things that you have never seen in all of your life. Back. So glad you're here. Appreciate you putting up. Yeah, if you're looking for the first volume, you can go to shatterthedarkness.net, left-hand side. You'll see the workbooks. Click on those. It'll take you there. And by the way, if you order any of the workbooks or any of the books or materials right now, enter in the word GLOW. GLOW. They'll give you 20% discount. So that's good. Very good. Please keep using that workbook. Oh, no. Listen, we're going to make sure that you have those up to be ordered. The second volume notebooks will be up, and you'll be able to order them and get them in. If there's any delay in that at all, then we'll just deal with some casual, random case issues and some other issues before you actually have the workbook. Yeah, I won't start on the workbook till I know everybody has them in their hands. So that will be good. Tonight, page 95, we're dealing with keeping records, audio, filming, notebooks and files, 11 points tonight. Very important. Let's go over them. Keeping records. And sometimes it's hard because sometimes when you're working with MPD, DID, with runners, with phone, with all the stuff that comes in, you might want to design some kind of file, paperwork, where you begin to deal with individuals, writing down their name, writing down their history. And matter of fact, you'll get a kind of what we call an intake form in the second volume. The intake form is the beginning of your file on an individual. And that's going to involve a lot. That's going to involve the X-Files. That's right, I see that. That's going to involve a lot of things. That's going to involve your working with them, all the people around them, perpetrators that might come, the phone calls that might come in, the spiritual warfare aspects. You're connecting the dots. People that we worked with 10, 12 years ago, we're seeing their children. We're seeing other individuals that we're interacting with. We're meeting other victims that know them. We are So it just all keeps becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as you do this. So let me tell you this. Three reasons for records, okay? Number one, you can use, and again, volume two, we will have probably in the workbook, but we'll also let you download it free, a PDF file on the intake form when you begin to work with a victim. And, you know, all the information you're going to need, all the check-off and everything else, we'll give that to you in PDF form that way because, you know, you might need four or five or six of those depending on who you're working with. And those are going to be files that are going to be confidential. They're going to be yours. But let me tell you about records. Number one about the records. About records. Number one, they become a prayer notebook. When you begin to write down the name of a person and their information and their family, and every single SRA, MPD, DID has a whole host of people around them, usually people that are involved, you got all kinds of things, where they originally came from, who their parents were, who their grandparents were, what the backgrounds are, where they went to school, if they were a part of a coven, were there other kids in the city, who are the doctors, who are the dentists, who are the other people involved, where are the locations. So you'll have an intake form that's about 9 pages long. And you'll have plenty of room to keep writing things down and writing things down and writing things down and writing things down. But I will tell you that one file will become a prayer notebook for an individual. Let's just say the name is Susie. And you got Susie's name down, her last name down, her real name down. Some of those pages will deal with individual personalities that you engage and who you're talking to. And some of the cases of deliverance. And let me say to law enforcement, if you don't know how to do this part, get individuals that know how to do real, honest, clear, simple, biblical deliverance. Because breaking the demonic powers in an SRA MPD can open them up to subpersonalities coming up and talking and telling and taking you to places and giving you information. And that is vital. That'll become vital. So I'm going to say this. In a case file that we'll begin to give you, you know, when we have the second volume out, it becomes, number one, a prayer, you know, prayer workbook. Number two, it's a case file of a real human being. Don't forget that. It's a case file of a real human being whose life has been stolen, whose life has been taken from them. From generational issues and the breeding issues, and spiritually they've been designed and captivated spiritually, physically, mentally, training. And they've been, and so much of what was normal childhood and normal things have been stolen from them. So please understand, it's a case file of a real human being, and never forget who they are. And even though we might have hundreds of files of people, I can open up old files and old pages and the way we used to do things and look at some of those, or even on my prayer map, and I could tell you a whole history and where it led to. And the engagement with the demonic, engagement with some sub-personalities and what they knew and the salvation that occurred, the deliverance that occurred, and all the rest. So it's about a real human being. And if you're dealing with an SRA MPD, a real victim, then you're going to have, without question, family involved on some level. If you're dealing with an older person that has children, it's almost already going to be assured that the children are MPD, SRA already. You're going to deal with perpetrators. You're going to deal with a coven. You're going to deal with spiritual warfare. You're going to deal with crime issues. You're going to deal with decisions. That's why we talked about earlier in this course about finding good officers that you know, that you trust, that you really are connected to. Good lawyer issue if you have a friend to give you legal advice along the way or if needed. Because the other side can come at you in many different ways. That's not to scare you. That's just to give you the foundational heads up prior to all of it occurring. If you get into the Arliss Perry case and you're in California, and I know we're going to be out in California in the summer, we're going to go to that actual chapel, or that church, the memorial church. We're going to look into it. We have already a connection to talk to the author of the book that wrote about it, and we're going to talk tonight with William Ramsey. And that case, see, how do, in 1974, how do officers know about Aleister Crowley and the process church issues and, you know, all of that? How do you know? So that's going to be very, very vital. All this, what we're giving you, is vital prior when you get into a case and the needs that you may have. The third thing is data banking everything. I mean, whether it's computer, you know, you want to just, because here's what happens. I get phone calls about, you know, we just got a thing today by an email about a town in southern Ohio and all kinds of information and actually some pictures. And I already wrote back to this individual. We'll look into the case. And we're going to find out more. We're going to ask more questions. We're going to begin to assess by what we know now what we're going to need to do. So we're going to start a case file. And that's going to start off a prayer agenda. We're going to pray over that. We're going to, it's going to be a case about real person. And it's going to be also then data banked in this set, in this thing. We are going to deal with how you put this in the computer. And what if you lose your hard drive? And all, so there's, again, we're going to encourage you to always keep paper copy. And that's the best thing I can tell you, is to data bank, because down the road, the information one gives you from an area, you may find out later that others are connected or other victims. For example, I've got one individual we worked with years ago. When we first met her, she was 13. And what she came out of and what we found out was there's got to be at least another 10, 12, 14 victims just like her from the Akron, Ohio area that are out there that have, I don't know if they've gotten any help. I don't know if anybody's gotten to them. We're talking, you know, we're talking now, you know, 20 some years later. So keep the paper for your legal issues, for your backup, because things can happen to computers, but it is true that data banking and computers, it's easier to do stuff. We're even doing some new things. And but let me say out of point numbers 1, 2, and 3. Number one, prayer notebook, use it. Number two, it's a case file of a human being with a lot of connections. Number three, data bank it all, both computer and paper. And understand this, extreme confidentiality. Extreme confidentiality. Because you may be given information that may be, I mean, real criminal evidence. You may be taken to sites where blood is still there, or be given confiscated, you know, stuff from a ritual site that has blood on it, that has DNA. So you're going to have to decide, like I said, in all of this, this is shatter, intervention, investigative unit. And that's what it's all about. So that's records. Number two that we're going to deal with here is audio. Let me answer a question real quick in the classroom here. What if their alter or even family file harassment charges? Well, that's why we mentioned last week on the lawyer issue, and that's why, you know, go over the last 2 weeks. Week number 8 was broken down into 2 weeks. That's why you're going to need, again, prayerfully looking and engaging and selecting and having legal counsel out there that can give you insight and help and really understand, you know, what it is that you need to do. Number one protection, Psalm 91. Number one protection, the hand of God over everything. But there's not, you know, Paul appealed to Caesar. And there's nothing wrong with a backup of connecting if you have to. We've never had to be engaged on that level because we have folks, we have people we can go to, a whole host of people that we can go to, but so far we've not, we've been threatened. Others that we know personally have been sued by the false memory, you know, engaged and brought into court and all kinds of stuff. So point number 4 on the page 95 in the workbook under audio. Now here's important stuff about audio. Three things about audio. Number one, you can put on audio victim information. That is, with their knowing, you can sit down with a little digital recorder or whatever else and set it out there and say, let's talk. Let's go over things. And so audio, a victim may, do that. You might want to get a separate little digital audio recorder to give to a victim, to ask them to tell things even when they wake up in the middle of the night, and give it to them to just pour out information whenever they can. And then get it later to download into your computer or download into a disc or whatever. But so you can have victim information on audio, their voice. The other side of that is the subpersonalities. Sometimes the main person will go away, other personalities will talk, and that's going to be amazing concerning what you get to actually hear. Some victims who are just beginning to break out have never heard subpersonalities talk. Hey, by the way, we have our retired friend inside the chat room. I know if you listen, you sent me a video. I can't get to it right now, but you sent me a video of like a documentary on multiplicity. I'm gonna click that onto the archive file. But if you have that available, if you could throw that into the chat room, okay? Some folks are losing sound. We pray the Lord will just preserve all the issues of sound. As far as we have right here, all the sound is working. Everything is absolutely fine on our part. So I don't know what else is occurring. We just hope that you're getting everything faithfully there. So we appreciate that. There's going to come up in the classroom chat room here a link to a video that I saw. Excuse me. Now, it doesn't go into the satanic side so much, but you're going to see individuals who are multiple. On a basic level, they're being engaged by counselors and others. You're going to see them switch and hear them talk in other voices. In one case, I think that there was some demonic stuff going on, too, in one case, but they didn't deal with that. But I think it's good to see. So when you see that up, I'm going to link that to the archives for session number 9. And encourage you to watch that. By the way, don't forget the homework issues. Please read and study The Satan Hunter by Tom Wedge. Please read and study well Secret Weapons by Del Griffiths. Please take a look at some of the foundational books we talked about that I think that are vital. They're not all perfect books. And they all have aspects, but they all help build a better picture in your working with this as a whole. So that's good. Thank you. There is the link in the chat room right now of the, thank you very much. I appreciate that. The hamburgers on me when we get to meet. The YouTube video on MPD, and you're going to watch both men and women, and you're going to see switching. You're going to see little personalities coming out. You're going to see this. So it's pretty interesting. If you need tonight to get a better hearing, we have up to 100 that can call the 347-945-6757. 347-945-6757. By the way, if William Ramsey is listening to this first hour, if you would, send me an email with the number that you're going to be calling in. Reason is, in our queue, we have a lot of numbers in there right now, and I'm not sure which number is yours. So if you'll send me an email with what number you're calling in with, that I can locate you in the queue, and so I don't have to go through 567 and others. Under audio, that's point number four, victim information, digital recorders. Number five under audio, that point there, is audio notes on the field. When you are out and about, I'm going to say this, when prayer, when you're asking the Lord, when you're, we've been out in the middle of the field, right where a body was dumped. And, then all of a sudden we found a trail marker in a tree that pointed to the next one and the next, and it was never brought into the law. I mean, we went to law enforcement, three different counties, three different locations, and we turned over information that they never seen, they never had. And so you want to make audio notes sometimes. When you're done with a victim during the night, you're done with all this happened and you're going home and other things come to your mind, you can put things down on audio. And that's important too. You can put things on audio. Under audio, this is where number six says, for your protection. So I want you to know that you should have digital and also the ability to take pictures, a camera, a phone camera, a little camera, buy a little cheap camera if you have to. And I encourage victims to have this audio and camera with you all the time. We'll talk about GPS in a few moments. And so that an audio can be clicked on, and so that the information that you're putting in there and the conversations that are being done. For example, with a SRA MPD, you might be talking with five other personalities and the main person doesn't know what's going on, and they're not at the level yet of knowing everything, and you might have to let them hear. You might have information that, you know, again, someone calls and says you're going investigating a certain farm area or wooded area or house or location, and they file complaints. So you have audio information to back up a lot of everything and ultimately for your protection. And you can always, again, in those little digital recorders, plug it into your computer, download it as a file, make a disc if you want, get it transcribed. They have some of those new programs for Computer Dragon and so forth that they can be transcribed also. You'll get a lot of information that way because things happen rapidly when you're on the field. They happen all over the place. And if you do give your phone number out, sometimes you get phone calls and you want to, you know, you get threats or something, then you want to make sure there's an availability of recording. Point number three on that page is filming. Now, three things about filming. We're at 789. Three things on page 95. Three things about filming. Under point seven on that page, sites and locations. Sites and locations. The good thing about the computers, you know, with mappings and being able to satellite down, there's an enormous number of things we can do now that we couldn't do back in the 80s. So the idea of filming locations when you know, we've arrived in some areas where lesser rituals, but nevertheless, real rituals were done. Years and years ago, when we didn't have all these facts down of what to do, we were taken to a deep place where we dug up bones, put them in the trunk of my car, brought them back to the university, gave them to the police academy, and they checked them out with another bone specialist from another university local and acknowledged that they were ritualistically cut into a skull cap, but was not a human skull cap. Had a power cone triangle with precision, into it and so forth. So there's filming. There's filming when you come to sites where there might be blood issues. I mean, here's what occurs. And Tom Dunn brought this up the other day. I think it's Rebecca Township or the Rebecca Chapel, a church or something. He was telling us about this place where all of this satanic stories were going. And 20 years ago, he went there. And lo and behold, they found on the ground a pentagram and so forth. Well, along the way, officers went there. Whole story with one officer telling me this. Officers went there and they actually drew out the actual symbol and all the symbols that were on the ground. They didn't understand what they were, and that's going to happen a lot. I've quit a long time ago trying to memorize all the symbols. I just now take time to look them up when I need to because I got resources. We got, you know, 20 books on symbols, and there's just thousands that couldn't. Is it Santeria? Is it Apollo Myombi? Is it, you know, traditional Satanism? And is it Crowleyan? Is it, who's doing what? And so you got to sometimes in languages that are written too, then you have to look that up and decipher. So you might want to take, because here's what happened with the law enforcement agents. I was just told the other day, they went there, they found all this, they drew it out by hand, they did everything else, and guess what? they went back the next day because there was an engagement with folks there that were close to the site. Well, the officers left. I'm not going to go into all the reasons, but they left. Came back with more folks later. I think it was the next day or the day after. And the entire cemented area where these things were, they were sanded. It was all sanded off. It was all removed. I mean, if you find basements in other places, you're going to smell of bleach to get rid of blood issues and, you know, all kinds of stuff. You might want to see about if you can get any luminol. I mean, there's a lot of things that you might want to begin to think about if you're really going to get serious into looking at this. And you must always remember, never contaminate a crime scene. Don't move anything. Don't step on anything. Don't touch anything. Take pictures first. Take pictures of everything. If you have any kind of gloves available, you're going to need this. And I want to recommend any kind of criminology course or private investigator course, or if you have a law enforcement friend to tell you what to do, what not to do, because it could be the breaking point when it comes to a case. If it comes down to, you know, anybody being caught and dealt with, DNA issues and crime scene contamination issues. So you want to be careful. And so I think audio and filming, you know, on our phones now, incredible. We have these little phones that can do video. You can buy little video things now. I got a camera that costs $89. I can take all kinds of video with sound. So I can be taking video and talking and explaining while I'm taking that video and use that. Dated, by the way, even dated. So it's very important for that to happen too. The question in the classroom is this: what can Police Academy do? Can they help with forensics like bones? Can they help with analysis, forensic hypnotism? And people will disagree with me, but I'm going to say this: never, never let anybody be hypnotized. And you don't want to hypnotize SRAs. Some have tried that and it worked a little bit for them, but that's exactly some of the stuff done. And no, this is what you don't want. You don't need this. Our approach is the hand of God, the grace of Christ, the Spirit of God, the charismatic giftings of God, a supernatural approach from a biblical perspective in doing this. That's going to be our approach. People might disagree with that, but that's the approach that we're giving. And all the way through it, from beginning to end, redemption, the salvation of lives, the healing, the help, and God being able to show you. Our premise, don't forget the premise, Ezekiel 8, where God willed to take somebody in and show them step by step by step, more and more and more. He even led them to the perpetrators. So it's clear that God demonstrated his will to do so and his ability clearly. So filming's good. So that's point 7 on the page 95, filming everything and getting pictures and speaking into the recorders if you're doing so. On point number 8, objects. There may be objects that have blackened blood. There may be objects that have DNA, fingerprints. There may be objects that are demonized. There may be objects that have symbols or ritual language or, you know, that identify the type of covenant group. So objects, it could be, you know, we've got stuff like robes and athames and chalices and altar tape, you know, materials and all kinds of stuff. Objects. Matter of fact, we're going to take pictures of objects and we're going to put those up also in the second volume along with some crime scene things. And we're going to put them in there, and then we're going to explain them along the way. We're not going to explain them. You'll have to be in the course because we don't want the, you know, everything just out there. We're going to explain them for those who are involved. Good point. David says in the Old Testament, he taught my hands to war. Thank you for putting that up. Because in a real sense, you got to realize Israel fought demonized nations. It was all spiritual but turned into physical. And more you're going to see this. The drug lords across around the world, but coming out of South America. And for those in South America, you know this. Santa Muerte, the Abaqua, the untold numbers of deaths on a cult level, the demon summoned, the demon gods summoned to help. And the drug lords are using that. And there's no question that all real ancient brotherhood SRA-oriented covens, they know the power. They know the real stuff, and they're into the real stuff. So the number point number nine under under filming, victims. Let me be very clear when I say this. Victims, don't ever exploit victims. Don't exploit victims and use victims. There's past video, past pictures, things. There's times that, I mean, if something is necessary to show to an officer to, you know, save a life or because somebody did get killed or something did happen, that's another story. But engaging, and I've seen this done, and I've seen some really bad stuff done out there where victims are so overwhelmingly manipulated and deliverance goes on and smacking the head with Bible and all kinds of crazy stuff. So be very careful how you treat victims and if there's filming and if there's approval. That's very important. So I'm going to tell you again, in filming, sites, locations, objects, the languages, the symbols, the areas, the carvings, victims and their testimony at times, because victims will have, sometimes they could be, they can be branded with things, they can have objects on them, that kind of thing. And the next thing about filming and cameras is this, let me tell you one more thing. If you have a camera on you at all times, and even when perpetrators come, so we've had in the past ability to, you know, if they come, you know, to your home ever, or if they try to follow you, victims, we always tell, have a camera, you know, just take pictures of those who are really trying to do this kind of stuff. Surveillance, we'll talk about surveillance here in a few moments, but I'm just going to include tonight the that issue of, you know, you might have to film for your protection, film concerning perpetrators coming after you. The last thing is this, under notebooks and files. I cannot tell you, you know, if we go back to the 80s and early 90s, little pieces of scrap paper here, little page here, little things here, things that were confiscated, books of shadows, information, pages given to us. So, notebooks and files, point 9 or 10 and 11 on the thing, handwritten under 10, have a lot of handwritten stuff, and 9 was victims, filming victims, confidentially, with their knowledge. You don't want to just use it and throw it on the web, and just they find out later you did that to them. So be you know, I don't care, you know, no one needs to be a sensationalist. You're not doing this to be a sensation. You're not doing this to go viral, okay? I hope that that will be something thrown away. But if there's materials, even from victims, we have a victim of a mother, SRA, MPD, that we dealt with heavily, and he remembers ritual stuff. He's already willing. We're going to be videoing him in a discussion. We have a few victims that are going to be willing because we have some work that we're going to put out. But I'm just saying, be careful on exploitation and confidentiality issues. You don't want to get anybody harmed either. Under notebooks and files, 10, handwritten, 11, computer. And you might think in terms of encryption. You might think in terms of flash drives that are hidden, you know, that you can, you know, pass off to others. You may think of copies that are put in a bank or given to your lawyer friend or given to other people on your team. Okay? Anybody can tell me what Hebrews 4:13 says? Anybody can tell me what Hebrews 4:13 says? We are going to welcome everybody more and more coming in to the class tonight. So again, we are on week number 9. We are on page, now we're going to be turning to page 97. Love it. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate that very much. This is a very important factor. And the truth is, perpetrators don't even like to hear it. But if you think of Bohemian Grove, if you think of the Bilderberger Group, if you think of High Places, if you think of ritual sites and all the rest, if you think of the Arliss Perry case at Sanford, at the Memorial Church on the campus, and what happened to her. Here's the fact. Neither is there any creature, there is not manifest in his sight. It's basically nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is naked or uncovered and laid open before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, this is important because, like with Cain in the Old Testament, blood cried out. He thought he could hide the crime. Notice how the sin nature mastered him. He went out and he killed his brother, and then he buried him to hide everything. In a lot of these kind of cases, I mean, people can be thrown into waters tied to blocks. People could be put through a chipper, a wood chipping machine. People could be put into a, before it's taken, put into a casket under the actual real body of another human being that's dead and be buried. There's all kinds of ways that we might talk about in the second half that they get rid of bodies, including cannibalism and other things, grinding down their bones and burning everything. Page 97, some factors on surveillance and tracking down victims. On hour number three tonight, we're going to talk about surveillance and tracking down perpetrators. So surveillance and tracking down victims, why? Well, because sometimes after victims come to you, sometimes victims tell us everything in one moment, then we don't see them for 4 weeks. Subpersonalities sent them back to the coven. We didn't, or they get abducted back, and we don't see them for a while. And that's what law enforcement, you know, agents in the past didn't know, how subpersonalities. I had a federal officer who brought in law enforcement agents to help him do surveillance on his wife, and all they said was, "Well, it looks like your wife's doing everything." They didn't know about personalities. The personalities were writing old occultic languages on the wall with blood. They tracked it. They found out that blood was bought from a local meat market. It was animal blood. That a lot of this was cult parts that were doing this kind of work. We'll tell you about a lot of this. That's why we mentioned early on that there's going to be disinformation, that some cult loyal parts will take you off on a rabbit trail to lead you away from the real stuff. And you're going to need discernment. You're going to need experience. You're going to need a team. You're going to need prayer. So really quickly here in 10 minutes, surveillance and tracking down victims. What is surveillance? Well, I think that Ezekiel 8 shows us that God led. God knows it all, just like Shane put up Hebrews 4:13. But surveillance can involve audio, it can involve video, it can involve eyes on. We'll talk about 6 points of surveillance in just a moment. But surveillance is just simply, you know, having a means to observe. It's tactical. It's designed. We've done a lot of sitting in cars. We've done a lot of hiding in the woods. We've done a lot of, you know, looking with a telescope or, you know, binoculars, and, you know, from different locations. We've done things where we've set up guys to cover a different area. We've done a lot of that. And we've caught perpetrators coming to get victims to take them off to a coven. We've caught, and in our own beginnings, there's times, well, we did the surveillance, but we didn't have a camera. We didn't take a picture. And when we started snapping pictures, that really bothered some folks out of Cleveland. Surveillance is all about, you know, plot and plan, tactical observation. What is tracking? Well, surveillance is sometimes more stationary. Where tracking is, you're going to places. You're going to one place, to another place, to another place, to another place. You're finding about people and places and things. And so you're tracking information. They gave you information to find about. Like, we got information about a barn and about a ritual. We got pieces of information from a subpersonality telling what they remembered. And so we went to the area. We actually found the barn. We found the trail back into it. We found the ritualized carcass of an animal. We found a number of other things that brought verification to the victim and what they went through, but it was what they gave us that we began to go and put things together. And, you know, it takes work, though. Tracking. There's times you're going to go through fields. Times you're going to have to dig things up. There's times you're going to have to go into buildings and knock on a door and ask if someone so-and-so works there. There's tracking to professional offices that we have been to and finding individuals. That's what we're doing. And sometimes we can nail things right away. Sometimes we can't. under that next little section there on page 97, it says, where do should we do surveillance of victims? Or why should we do this? Okay. And I say, I'm going to say yes. Number one, for their protection. Surveillance of victims, where we've had guys that stayed out with cups of coffee from, you know, 11 o'clock at night till 4 in the morning to keep perpetrators away, to keep subpersonalities from running away. We've done that. So if you do surveillance, it may be for the protection of the victim. Okay? Number two, the exposure of the perpetrators. The exposure of the perpetrators. So you're going to have times where victims are going to say, or a subpersonal is going to say, they're coming for her this week. Or a phone call comes in with just a simple message about, you know, such and such a date, which is usually a ritual date. And it's all about getting them to the place. Now, in the context of satanic ritual abuse and multiplicity, you will have individuals out there, perpetrators, who are, they are watchers and enforcers. Watchers come just to see who's doing what. That's all they do, is to come to watch and observe, reconnaissance. Enforcers may come all the way to the victims to harm them, or come to you and warn you. Okay. Why should we do surveillance of victims? Number one, for their protection. Number two, for the exposure of the perpetrators. And number three, for evidence. If it comes down to it, evidence. You know, if you have a camera on a situation and you see, you know, someone coming and they pound on the door and they're telling the person to come on, and you go to engage or stop that, and then they pull out a knife, or they yell at you and say, we're going to kill you and your family, and we're going to kill her if she doesn't come to the coven. Well, if you've done the surveillance and you used a camera in that, a video in that, then you're dealing with evidential stuff now. Okay? Those who are, you know, being stalked, stalking issue, gang stalking issues, big, you know, with these issues we need. Now, how do you do surveillance? Let me give you this. We're going to go to 8:35, and then we're going to take a 3-minute break, and we'll bring William Ramsey on about 8:37 tonight. So, William, if you're listening, again, if you can send me your, there you go, appreciate that, I got that now. Just needed your information concerning the phone you're going to call in with, and yeah, good, I got that. Thank you. I will click on that, but it's going to be about 8:37 that we pull you on. Because I want to finish this segment before this hour ends, or this time period ends. How do you do surveillance and tracking victims? Number one, eyes on the ground. Nothing can help you better than have people that are, you know, they're there in the area. They're sitting in areas, they're in another place, they're looking at another window, they're in the field, they're on the ground, and their eye, you know, they're looking. You know, they can have audio, they can have video, they can have a cell phone to call instantly. In the past, we used really good, we had some good walkie-talkie type stuff, 50-mile range. We still do. You know, and let me be honest, I can't bring everything out, but try to get some good night vision. If you come to the later training, or if you get into the second course, we might even give out more details, but again, understanding that doing this course the way we're doing it right now, the other side can hear all kinds of stuff. They always want to know what we're going to do. And here's what we learn by their method. As we're getting ready to protect somebody, and there's a ritual going on at some part of town or whatever, and we're going to check it out. They may have a watcher watching your house to be able to call the coven people to say, hey, they're still there, they're over here. And they're watching where you are, and they're following you to inform the coven so that you don't get close, so that you can't find the victim. I can't tell you how many strange and weird things. And we'll do more of this along the way. But number one, eyes on the ground. Okay. Number two, assigned workers that victims are comfortable with, where you put them in the home. At a job area. Have you ever thought about this? Getting some of your team to take a job in a certain company. They're there to have their eyes on the inside. We have somebody that got hired as a maid in a house where a certain room they weren't allowed to go in, not only because of the pornography stuff, but because of the ritual stuff, and because they were involved in ritual issues. So you're going to maybe have assigned workers to areas. Now, what we used to call piggybackers, that's point number three, under how do you do this, we call them piggybackers. When we are out on the grounds, when we're out doing the stuff, when we're out there in our vehicles, whatever else, guess what we have at times? We have our people following us from a distance. And let me reveal something. I know this is, I don't know if this is going to be good or bad, but at conferences and other places, I have folks that are in the crowd. We always call them piggybackers because they're piggybacking us. They're our people, our friends, our folks, our team. And when we're going into areas or whatever else, all they are is to piggyback and observe us and watch our backs and see who might be watching or following us. Okay? Number four, GPS unit. A GPS unit. On a legal basis, we, in some cases, had a victim sign paperwork that would say, I give you the rights to do everything necessary to keep me protected and get me out of the coven or cult. So you can imagine the possibility of a GPS unit being put on their car. And all of a sudden, they're gone. You can't find them. They've taken off. A cult part is driven away. Something has to be done covert. Something has to be done that way. And in that process, on a computer, you can see where they're at. So number four, you can look into and you can think in terms of GPS units. Okay? Number five, let me say that in surveillance, you're going to need computer skills, telephone, texting abilities. You know, I used to not like this texting stuff. My daughter can talk to me, look at me face to face, talk to me while with her right hand have her phone, her iPhone, and text and be sending something to somebody. I can text. You know what I have on my new thing I've got? All I have to do is click on and I could just say what I want to say. It turns it into an audio, you know, text and I send it. It's a lot faster than me getting my big fingers on a little phone trying to do stuff. Number six, checkpoints. You know, where you have locations. Okay. where you can have checkpoints about, you know, traveling places. If people are going to be following you and you purposely are taking them down this road, down that road, past that building, past this place over there, and then all of a sudden they're coming up, you know, a half mile behind, and you have somebody already located with a camera in this building, that building, you're taking them right past and they're getting, you know, they're being photographed or they're being recorded just like that. So those are some ideas. I only encourage you to take private investigation. If you're really into this, I will recommend a couple private investigative online school stuff, local class things you can do. What I've done over the years, just buy investigative books, buy criminal profiling books, FBI style stuff, law enforcement stuff. I just buy them and I look at them and I read them. Journalistic investigators, you know, in investigative journalism. And so I read the content and then I just look at their ideas and adapt it to what I do, what we do. The next thing is this, a note on spiritual surveillance, and we're going to take a break. Spiritual surveillance and the tracking of victims. Three things you have to do. Mark this down in the workbook on a piece of paper. I guarantee you in this world, this is why law enforcement is sometimes, I think, they're running circles around law enforcement. Whether you believe this or not, they have the ability through demonic empowerment and through the demons that are in the coven and the demons in the air to have communication spiritually. There are so many times we've engaged individuals that said, we saw you coming from a distance. They do have supernatural abilities, things like clairvoyance and things like this. You think in terms of it's psychic, but it's spiritually empowered. Demons can communicate to other demons. Astral projection can be used to watch the area that if they see anything, or you can talk about remote viewing. So I'm telling you right now that if you go to a location where there's a real ritual site, you can be sure they've already assigned demons to watch their site and to communicate if anything's happening. And whether you believe this or not, I'm telling you what we know and what we've engaged, and you'll hear victims tell you the same thing. So three things under spiritual surveillance and tracking victims. Number one, bottom of the page, 97. Number one, this is additional. Cover yourself in prayer. I mean, just cover yourself in prayer and the victim in prayer. Just cover yourself in prayer. Number two, pray against all the demonic empowerments, demonic things, spirits that are there to watch, objects that spirits may be on. Pray against everything demonically that you're led to pray against. Number three, pray for the exposure and the bringing down of perpetrators in their areas. We are at 8:35. We are at the end of the first hour, and we're going to bring William, if you can hang on for just about another 5 minutes, we'll be bringing you on. We're going to be in the second hour bringing William Ramsey on. We're going to talk a little bit about Crowlinian ritual stuff, and then we are going to talk also about cases, and hopefully the Perry case a little bit, and take a look at some of this. 5 minute break. We'll be right back. There is power.